testimonies of how people hear the gospel. It reminds me of that awful time at Vanderbilt University Hospital when my wife and I had gone in there, and this team of oncologists came marching into the room, and they told my wife, they said, "Mrs. White, we regret to tell you, but you have less than 6 months to live. You have pancreatic cancer. You already have 7 tumors that have metastasized into your liver. And you have no hope." And she said, and you've heard me say this before, "I gave my life to the Lord when I was a teenager. It's His. He can do anything He wants to with it." And the doctors got frustrated. And finally, one of them in frustration said, "Mrs. White, don't you realize you're going to die?" And she said, "Yes, sir. But really, so are you." And it wasn't me that said it, so it wasn't sarcasm. It was Odessa that said it, and it was in kindness. And then she proceeded to witness to him. She said, "You may not understand my reaction, but I know." And she gave her own personal testimony. And then she shared the gospel with him. And the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, is that that oncologist actually did die before Odessa did. He died with a heart attack. That's hard to believe, but at least he was able to hear the gospel that one time, and who knows what happened in his life after that. But you know, it is important. Death is coming. The wages of sin is death. No exceptions. Dr. Fred Brown, my dear evangelist friend, getting up in age, he used to say, they say that the death rate is going down. He said, "No, it's not. It's still 100%. It's still 100%. It's not going down. Life expectancy may be increasing, but the death rate is not changing. It's still 100%. And it will be until the Lord comes back." But you know, so that point between birth and death, not only for the unbeliever, because that is their opportunity to receive Jesus Christ in everlasting life, but it's our only opportunity to serve God after we have received Him. Because my wife went to be with the Lord first, we have a double headstone. And it's strange to walk in and see your own name on a tombstone. But it does make you think. They've got the date of birth in that little line. And then my side, thank the Lord, so far is still blank. But you know, that little hyphen, that little slash mark, is the only opportunity we have to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. There's so many things on my mind. I've spent the whole afternoon dealing with mission field situations. And this day I was going, "Oh, I didn't turn it. I didn't even put it on. Can you hear me?" I'll be ready. Hear me? Can you hear me? I need to turn it on now. No, it's on. It's on. Great, great, great. Good. Well, first mistake I've made. No, it's not really. I made several when I was trying to play that piano solo over there because I had forgotten that I had been told before the service that I was doing it and was even shown it on a program earlier. But listening to the testimony, I totally forgot that I was supposed to go up there and do something. And so I was surprised and it took me. So I made a few mistakes, which is not uncommon, you know. But I want to talk to you from my heart tonight. Is that okay? I mean, I wish I had the voice that some people have. I'd never have liked my voice. I don't listen to my own preaching after it's been taped because I hate my voice. I always wish I had one of these deep bass voices like some of our missionaries here this week. But God didn't give me that. But I do like to preach. I love to preach. Because there's such a marvelous message. And Pastor, you not only have my permission, I am honored that you would even think such a thing. My only stipulation is that you send me copies of what you do so that I can hear that for myself, because it is a vital thing that is necessary, I think, in every church. Just get over it. You know, that happened. You can't unhappen it. Is that a word? You can't unhappen anything. It happened. Get over it. I told them this morning in the class, my grandmother taught me something I've always tried to remember. She said, don't ever let somebody else decide how you're going to feel. Good advice. Good advice. But I want to try to take you tonight to the other side of faith promise giving. Over there. Look with me in 2 Corinthians. First of all, in chapter 10, in keeping with the theme, how will they hear? Verse 15 and 16 and 17 tell us. Paul says, as he's writing 2 Corinthians, and supposedly he has concluded the part of his letter that talks about giving. And he's closed it by saying, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift at the end of chapter 9. And then he goes into another subject altogether. But he hasn't gotten it out of his heart yet. So over in verse 14 of chapter 10, he says, we will not boast of things without our measure. In other words, be careful that you don't take credit for someone else's ministry. Missionaries, be careful of that. I was in a church one time in my home state of West Virginia, and they had questions and answers at the end of the service. And the young missionaries that were there going to the field were sitting up with me on the platform, and the people were asking questions. And one older man in the back of the church, I'd been talking about the churches that had been started and the missionaries that had been sent out and all the different things, you know. Not seeking to be boastful, I don't think. But he raised his hand and I said, yes, sir. And he said, my question is, how many churches have you started? Well, I could tell from the tone of his voice that he wasn't wanting me to tell him about those 97 churches that had been started. So I said, you mean me? By myself? He said, that's exactly what I mean. I said, well, to be honest, none. Not one. It's God that gives the increase. But besides, if we're going to pass out human credit, I think maybe we ought to give it to those nationals who've been beaten and disowned and sacrificed so much so that their church could be planted on the mission field. Don't give it to me. Give it to them. But I want to, at least in this small way, in this service tonight, to approach this in a different way and get on their end of things and let you know what's happening in their hearts because of your giving. Paul says, I'm not going to take credit for somebody else's work. That is, of other men's labors. But verse 15, having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly.
The hope of the missionary is for you to allow your faith to be increased. That's our hope. That's the hope of the missionary. How will they hear? When you have enough faith to send more missionaries. When you have enough faith to put more into building up your own church. When you have enough faith to trust God to do everything He wants you to do as an individual and then collectively as a church. That's how they'll hear. That's how they'll hear. We will be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. That old missionary song, to the regions beyond. We must go, we must go, where the story has never been told. And the only way that we can do that is they cannot hear unless a preacher or a missionary be sent. The hope of the missionary is that your faith be greater. Now, I say this with hesitation. But you know, if you put in exactly the same thing you did last year and you know God supplied that much, where's the faith? Increase it just a little bit to let God prove Himself that He will provide even more through you so that the missionary can do more and reach further on the mission fields of the world. The hope of the missionary, then the heart of the church is faith, and then the honor is for the Lord. He that glorieth on the mission field as a missionary or at home as the giver and the sender, let's don't take the glory from God. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now I want to back up to chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. A little further back, he said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Do you believe that? Every man. See, that's one of the keys. It's impossible for a church to do everything God wants them to do as a church if every member doesn't do their part. Because it's minus what that one person should have been doing. Every man, according as he has been instructed by his pastor. Doesn't say that, does it? Every man, as he has been manipulated by that missionary speaker. No. Every man, as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. In other words, the commitment comes in the heart, not on the paper. Lord, what do you want me to give? Lord, how much do you want me to give this year? Now, you can tell the Lord all you want to about how your situation is different now and you do all of these things. But God knows all of those things. And God can lay it upon your heart and then you can purpose in your own heart. And it says, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. I've heard people say, but he'll take it from a grouch. But I don't think so. The church might take it from a grouch. But I don't think God does. I don't think God does. God loves someone who gives because they want to. And the more you give by faith, the more you want to. Because you realize that there are some marvelous truths. Verse 8. God is able. You believe that? I told you I was just going to be talking to you tonight, and I'm talking to myself. God is able. God's able to do what? Anything. Everything. But in context, let's see what it's talking about. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. The one who has purposed in his heart what he's going to give, and the one who gives it. You know, God, if you'll give it to me, I'll give it to you, is not a biblical approach. And faith promise giving is not something mystical. If you don't find it under a rock, you don't have to give it. Sounds good, but it's not true. You first give as you purpose in your... Now, don't let someone else manipulate and tell you what, even as a married couple. You know, I think it's good that you decide together what you're going to give. But I think that it should be a mutual decision. But every person is... And when you teach your children to get involved in faith promise, make sure they remember that they can't come to you and say, "Mama, I need my faith promise for this Sunday." Well, it's a faith. It's a promise by faith. Let's pray about it. And allow the smallest of children to realize that that 10 cents a week can come to them and be provided for them. But most of the time, even with them, you might have to, as a parent, say, "What'd you do with that dollar you had? Did you spend it all?" And teach them. But as we do that, we can teach ourselves. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now listen to it. That you, this is a personal message to every giver, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Faith promise? I kind of like God's promises rather than mine on my end. If I will purpose in my heart to give what I feel like, God, I might make a mistake. But God knows that too, and He knows the sincerity of my heart. But if I will purpose in my heart what I feel like God wants me to give, then God's able to take care of everything else. He'll take care of me in every situation, no matter what it is. Verse 9, "As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." See, that's a promise that what you do will be blessed just as much as what the missionaries you're supporting do is blessed of God. Verse 11, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." Now here's where I'm taking you, putting you on an airplane and flying you to the other side and letting you pretend to be one of those foreigners over there across the sea who heard the gospel from missionaries you sent. Verse 12, "For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, it not only meets the need of those believers over there and all the financial needs and all those things that they need, but is abundant also by many of them with thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and all men." You see, over there, They're glorifying God because of what you have sent to them. I heard this, and I think it's a song, but I'm not even sure, but I liked the words. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the golden streets and beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you don't know me now." And then he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart." Makes Sunday school teaching pretty worthwhile, doesn't it? Doesn't it? This is in heaven. Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his picture made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave." One by one they came, far as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, He said, "My child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was saved. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave." I guess it's been 20 years now, maybe, or maybe even more. I was getting ready to come on furlough. But before I did, for almost a year and a half, I pastored a church for another missionary to be on furlough. Relief pastor. In that church was a lady who had been saved in one of my other meetings in that church, and I was the preacher, and she received Christ. Beautiful singing voice. Beautiful singing voice. But she developed cancer. And nothing the doctors could do was seeming to help her. And I was talking to her one day. Her name was Mrs. Tasaka. And I said, "Tasaka-san, we're praying for you. How are you?" She said, "Well, there's only one thing that I regret." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "Is that I can't serve the Lord anymore. I can't teach my Sunday school class. I can't even sing." And she used to sing a lot in the church. And I looked at her and I said, "Well, you can still sing. Anytime you can come to church, you can sing. And I'll make sure you sing that when you come to church." And she said, "Really? Then I'll be there every Sunday." Now, you'd have to know her. This is a humble person. This is not someone who wanted the limelight. She just wanted to do something for the Lord, and she could sing. She told the doctors at the hospital, when they put her in the hospital, "You have to let me out on Sundays. If not, I'll just stay home." And so every Sunday, her husband would go to the hospital and pick her up and bring her to church. And she would stay and she would sing. One of the songs I loved to hear her sing was that song, "But until then, my heart will go on singing." But she sang a lot of, and most of her songs were about heaven. She was eager to get there, but she didn't want to go until she'd finished what God wanted to do on earth. It came to the place where her husband, who would not sing in public, had to stand up there with her because she couldn't stand on her own. And he held her in his arms and would try to sing with her, and it made her sound worse. So he would stop and she would keep singing. I remember the last time I heard her sing, it was at our big Bible conference. And she was scheduled to sing. And we had another lady was the music teacher and the voice teacher in our school. But she got up to sing and she couldn't finish. Her voice just kind of went away. And I still remember when Mrs. Hidaoka stepped out from her place. And Japanese don't do those extemporaneous things. And stood up beside of Mrs. Tasaka and became her voice and finished the song for her. Shortly after that, I was due to go on a furlough. So I went to their home and she was lying out on the floor, as the Japanese always sleep on the floor, you know, with their futons. And I knelt down beside her and I said, and we prayed together and I talked with her for a while. And I said, now, it's nearly time for me to go on furlough, but I can cancel it if you want me to. And she said, oh, no, I want you to go. She said, it won't be long till I'll be looking into the face of Jesus. And she said, when I get there, I'm going to tell him all that you are doing down here in Japan. And then before I could say anything, she said, oh, I know what you're going to say. I know he already knows all that, but I'm going to tell him anyway. And they said, I want you to go back on your furlough. And I want you to go to those churches that sent you out to the mission field and thank them for sending me a missionary. Because had that not happened and had they not done that, I would be going into hell instead of heaven. And I want you to tell them, thank you for me. You see, that's what the Bible's talking about. Many over there will be giving thanks to the Lord for what you have done. And then look, not only will they be giving thanks to the Lord for the distribution that you give, what you've given to them, but in verse 14 it says, by their prayer for you. Do people on the mission fields who've come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior pray for the people that sent their missionaries to them? Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. They pray with grateful hearts. They thank God that you were willing to give, that you were willing to sacrifice, that you were willing to send missionaries to hard places, to difficult places. I mean, we praise the missionaries for going. Don't do that. We get to be there. There's no sacrifice to being a missionary. I don't understand why everybody doesn't become a missionary. But they pray for you. They long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Your pastor and his wife have been to Japan. Did the people not show to you their appreciation for what Thompson Road had done for them? They did. I can remember times when they came to you and said, you know, thank you for sending us a missionary. Or maybe they didn't say it in exactly those words. But the reason I remember most of that is because they were saying it through me. I had to translate it. So I said everything they said. But you may think that there's no appreciation for what you do. And you may hear the talk about, well, we need to meet the needs of our church before we send more out to them. You may hear those kinds of conversations and everything, but you don't hear them on the other side. But then you hear that because someone gave that they could hear, then they must give so someone else can hear. And guess what? I preach Faith Promise conferences in Japanese. And they respond. And they give. Many of them sacrificially beyond anything that we can think about. And yet God meets their every need. The exceeding grace of God in you. You see, all of our giving is by the grace of God. Were it not for God's grace, we wouldn't have anything to give. But God, in His grace, gives through us many times what He cannot give to us. And that's faith giving. Chapter 8 is the beginning where he says, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. Have you done that? Oh, you're missing so much. It's a hard thing. I can't look and say, well, you know, we might pick out the ones that we thought had given most to the Lord and the ones that were the most faithful. But God looks at the heart. And you don't have to make excuses to God. You know, well, I'm sorry I couldn't come. If that's the truth, then you don't need to apologize to anybody. You might need, so that we won't be concerned about whether you're sick or not, it might be nice to tell your pastor when you can't come. But you never have to explain to God. You see, when you purpose in your heart, if there is a time when you absolutely cannot give it, at least, and it will be temporarily, at least temporarily, you don't have to explain to God. You don't have to say, God, I'm sorry, I promised to give that much and I can't give it. Because God knows your heart. And then He will supply your every need. But I just wanted to speak to you tonight as a church that's supported me at least since 1966, because I have that on record. I think a little bit before that, because I think I was taken on by Thompson Road before I ever went to the mission field in my first deputation. Because otherwise I can't explain why it would start when I was already on the mission field. And you've been faithful through the years. I know that there has never been one single month when the support from Thompson Road Baptist Church did not come. Never. Not one. There's been extra and special offerings and Christmas offerings. And when there's a project need, there's been a special thing and you've sent gifts. The building in Myanmar that they're using now, and now they're going to be getting for some free Bibles, and they're going to be distributed to all over the country of Burma. I think it's amazing. And it was almost an unplanned thing because Dr. Sam Strickland has been here, right? He was in a missions conference this week, and they were talking about their Bible project, and they showed a picture of a ministry in Myanmar over 5 years ago, and in that picture was one of our teachers and one of our men leaders there in that ministry there. And Brother Sam was totally shocked, and he told them, I know that man. And so now, through that coincidence, no, these Bibles are going to be going into Myanmar, and then our students and graduates will be hand-carrying them to villages all over that country. They're being trained in that building that you helped to build. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Structurally, I tried to be a little bit alliterative when I talked about the hope of the missionary and the heart of the church and then the honor that goes to God alone. But really, I just wanted to talk to you from my heart and say thank you. But to remind you again that we haven't given up hope that your faith will be increased so that we can do more. So that we can get a little further with the gospel. So that we can see another church started. So we can see another national missionary that goes out to some mission field where American missionaries aren't even allowed in. You see, how will they hear if you don't allow God to increase your faith for living and your faith for giving? The gospel, because of you, will have reached its limit. But if your faith is increased, then your missionaries will be enlarged. And they will be led of God to do things to get to the regions beyond where they already are. Missionaries, don't ever be satisfied with what God has given you. Always try to reach further to those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't be turned off because culturally they don't accept it. Of course they don't. Nobody accepts the gospel. You know, the gospel is confrontational and there is an offense in the gospel. Make sure you're not offensive. And that the message is the only thing that would bring, because there is a rejection process that starts every time somebody hears the gospel. But unless they hear the gospel, they cannot believe. So whatever approach you take as you're ministering to people, make sure that you get to the gospel. Make sure you tell them that Jesus died for their sins. They're a sinner. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day and He lives. He's not like dead religion. He's alive. Get the gospel to them. But church, I would encourage you right here in the middle of our missions conference. Don't think so much right now, and don't get too frightened, Pastor, about what you ought to give. But just in your heart, thank the Lord for what you've already been able to give. Because you couldn't have done that without Him. And then you thank the Lord for the Mrs. Tasakas all over this world that have gone out into eternity with gratitude in their hearts, of course, to God, but with gratitudes in their hearts for you. She didn't know your names, but she knew that people had given so that she could have a missionary that brought her the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the marvelous truth of Your Word. And Father, we thank You that even when You give us these teachings through the example of Bible Day churches, that it's still Your Word because it is inspired of You. And Lord, we can trust Your ability to meet every need of our own hearts if we will purpose in our hearts to give what You want us to give. So Father, I pray that everyone would again, as they thank You for what they have been able to do to this point, would begin to listen to that still small voice in their hearts as they pray, and purpose in their own heart that they would give more this year to missions than they have before. And we will praise You, Lord, for whatever You accomplish. And we do thank You for Your unspeakable, unexplainable gift that You gave to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor. Marvel.